All right. Good morning. It's good to see all of you out. What a difference a day makes, right? Not windy. We get used to that, but temperature-wise, it's kind of cool this morning. Glad that y'all made it out. And I think Hank was right. It's awful heavy on this side.
They're more spiritual on that side.
Is that what it is? Well, I've always read that wide is the gate, and many there are on. But that's another subject. Anyway, aren't you glad that we can come? And I do. I appreciate the laughter, and thank you guys for leading worship this morning. I'm thinking everybody up here is wishing there was a video of somebody speaking this morning as well. But you get me. It's always a privilege. Again, I thank you guys for coming and allowing me to do this. What a joy. We've been looking at Paul, and we've been looking at the book of Philippians and his talk to the people there. Just to reiterate, these are normal folk, right? And Paul's a normal folk. You know, I think sometimes we need to be reminded of that when we come to the Word of God, and especially the Pauline letters or anything like that, that these were just normal guys in life. They weren't superhuman. They just walked with the Lord and did what He called them to do. And because of that, God used them mightily and brought His faith. He started with 12 guys that He focused on. And look where we are today. And just normal fishermen, whatever, work, right? And He uses each of us in the same way. And that's a pretty cool thing. So we've been looking at Philippians. We've been looking at Paul. He gave us some reminders last week, if you remember right, if you were here or if you listened to it on the video or tape, of the marks in our lives as to knowing Christ, right? And this is a continuation, a little bit of that. But this week, I titled the message "Keep Pressing On." Right? You got the marks of what it means to be a Christian, but we got to keep pressing on. We are called to keep moving. Right? Faith is never a stale place. You can't just think, oh, here I am. All right, now I can sit and I can relax and not do anything else. Right? That's not what the Word of God tells us to do. He tells us, as followers of Christ, we should be wanting to go and tell others. We have the cloud of witnesses that have gone before us that came and brought the Word to where we are today. Right, my grandparents, the forefathers, my mom, they continued that in their day. You know, my mom's one of those that you talked about that have gone on that are waiting on the other side now. But they brought that faith to me, and they pressed on to the very end. You know, some of the last words my mom spoke to us and the grandkids were, "Just be there." Just be there, you know, and it had the idea of press on, keep walking, keep following, keep going. And I've challenged each of my kids that their responsibility is they've gotten older now and they're starting to have families of their own. I keep telling them it's your responsibility now to teach your kids and get them there, because I want to see my great grandchildren in heaven someday. I want to be able to spend eternity with a lot of family. As well as you guys, right? You guys are family. But I'd really enjoy seeing generations of my family there. And that only accomplishes if we keep pressing on, if we keep moving. So we're going to look at that this morning. Again, I appreciate Hank reading this morning. If you caught in there, to walk worthy, right? That's our verse that we've been focusing on. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And so Paul continues to use himself as an example for us. Regardless of our situation, we must press toward that mark of the high calling of God in Christ. And we're going to see how he lays that out for us this morning. So let's open in prayer and then we'll get into this. Father God, thank you for the opportunity to look into your word this morning. Thank you for giving us your word and how we can put that into our hearts and our lives so that we might be able to walk the way that you have called us to do, and that we might be your servants, and that we might be encouraged to keep going when sometimes we want to stop. And so we thank you for that. Just ask that you would use the word this morning in our lives, in your son's name. Amen. So we're just going to be looking at really four simple little verses this morning, 12 through 16. So I'm just going to read those real quick, and then we'll look into what it says here a little deeper. Now, not that I have already attained, right? So he was talking about the resurrection of life from the dead, and he was wanting to attain that resurrection from the dead. So he comes back, he says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, and let us be of the same mind. Didn't count it up, but I should have. If you noticed a common theme here of being of the same mind throughout the book of Philippians, how many times he comes up with that? Be of the same mind, right? It's so important. So as we look at the verses this morning, we see Paul's example on pressing on. He begins with the idea of laying hold, right? The laying hold of what God had given him. He says he wasn't perfect, right? He hasn't attained. Right? Sometimes I think as Christians, we think, oh, we said the prayer, we got where we want to be, we're right with the Lord now, I can stop. Right? I've attained all that God wanted me to do. His whole goal was to bring me to heaven. And I always think, that's a really poor thought. That's a really poor thought. Because really, if you have that mentality, think about that for a minute, and then think about your loving God. If all he wanted to do was get you saved to take you to heaven, he's not a very loving God, because he left us here. Right? Think of the world that he left us in. If all we think his goal was to get me saved and take me to heaven, then why did he leave me here? Why didn't he save me and go, poof, you're mine, I'm taking you home? And I struggled with that for a lot of years. And it finally dawned on me, I think somebody mentioned it this morning already, either in Sunday school or wherever, but God has a plan, right? The things that he come into my life, God's already knows. He's allowing those things to come my way for a specific purpose that he wants to work through my life. And when you think about a loving God, it's kind of, it's a poor example, I know, but I think of a parent who has a treasured automobile, right? And their boy or girl turns 16, and that's their baby, right? For me, that would be like a 68 Camaro, all fixed up and ready to roll. And handing the keys to Sam. Yeah, you all know Sam, right? Right? What love would that be from my heart to him to say, I trust you with that car? Right? It's a poor example, I know, but think about our Heavenly Father takes His most treasured thing, right? Salvation, the gospel, and He's handed it to us. And He says, take the keys. Go out. Do what you're supposed to do. Right? Is that love from a Father that loves me? He trusts me that much? He trusts you that much to take that message to the world? See, Paul wasn't perfect, right? I can guarantee you Sam's not perfect. And if I gave him the keys to my car, I'm going to sit in my house and I'm going to hear that car go, whoa, and I'm going to go panicked, right? Because he's going to take off on the road. And I know Sam enough to know that those tires are going to get spun somewhere down the line. Maybe not outside the house, but the next mile over, he's probably going to spin those tires. He's driven. He's not perfect. And that's what Paul is saying here. Not that I have obtained or am already perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus also laid hold for me. I trust Sam enough with that car to know that, okay, he's going to go out and he's going to be not perfect with it. But he's going to try his best probably to bring it back to me in one piece, in the way it should be. God has put imperfect people to go do what He's called us to do. And He's laid hold of each one of us, right? When you think about that, Paul was assuring us that he had not arrived, he had not retained a perfection. The preacher's homiletic commentary stated of Paul's word, he has not reached the condition where nothing else can be added. Right? As Christians, we have not reached all that we will yet be. Right? There's nothing in my life that goes, oh, there's nothing God could do in my life to enhance His work in me. Really? Really? You haven't obtained it. I haven't obtained it. We were reminded last year that we hadn't attained it when all of a sudden God took us from Red Cloud to the college. Right? I haven't obtained all that God wanted to do with me. I thought I had. I was pretty content in Red Cloud, thinking this is good. God lets me preach the word on Sunday morning in Red Cloud, Nebraska every day. I get to go be His witness. That's a pretty high honor. And all of a sudden He said, I'm going to move you and you're going to go try to teach some students how to do the same thing that you're doing today. Wow. This kid, this man from Nowhereville, Nebraska, in Sydney, Nebraska back in the day, he's worked all the way along. Not that I attained it, and I'm still not perfect. Anxious to see what God might add to me as we go along, right? And, he had not reached the condition where nothing else can be added. Don't ever get to that point in your life. Allow God to continue to add to you. Yet, Paul was determined not to be content where he was at, and nothing can be added. But he was determined to press toward perfection, right? How many of you have ever heard people say, well, I'm not perfect, but this is the way I am. I'm always going to be this way. I'm always going to blah, 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 right? You know what? That's a really poor attitude in and of itself, isn't it? I'm not what I want to be. My wife had to correct me when I first started preaching because I'd get up and I'd tell people, well, I'm not very good at this. But God has put me here, so here I go. About a month of doing that at Red Cloud, and she pulled me aside after church one time, and she said, I don't ever want to hear you say that again. If God has called you to what He's called you to do, then you are exactly what He wants you to do. Don't get up there and say you're imperfect and done. Everybody knows that, right? Just get up and do what God has called you to do. And quit making excuses for it. God has called you to do certain things, and that was Paul's idea. He was determined to press on toward perfection. It's so easy to think of our current condition, right, and think, this is all right, but we must not become complacent. 1 Corinthians 15:58 reminds us, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, right, but always abounding in the work of the Lord, and knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Right? I always must be abounding in the work of the Lord. Be steadfast, immovable. That means standing where I'm at, being there. I'm not moving. But yet I always want to be abounding in the work that God has called me to. Where he's taking you, what he's doing with you. Always abound in that. And you have that assurance of knowing that you're not in vain. It's not in vain in the Lord. Some people might look at you and go, well, that's kind of stupid that you're wasting your life doing that. Right? Some people might look and think, why are you teaching kids to go to Bible college? Do you realize when they get out of Bible college, they're just going to have to go to a regular college to get a degree to go do anything they want to do in life? Why do they need Bible college? Why are you wasting your time there? You know why? Because some of those kids are going to sit in churches just like yours. They're going to sit here one day. And you're going to be so thankful that they're here. Because they got a strong backing of the Lord. Some of them are going to be standing behind pulpits. And they're going to be declaring the word of the Lord. Some of them are going to go on trips to Germany full time to become missionaries. Some are going to go to work for Village Missions and take my place in Red Cloud. Right? That's why we do what we do. That is such a higher calling than that. It's not in vain. In the Lord, in the eyes of the world, it looks kind of dumb. But in the eyes of the Lord, that work isn't in vain. And we must remember that. We're keep pressing on toward perfection. Paul's desire was to lay hold of that which Christ laid hold of him. Right? Acts 9, we saw that Christ laid hold of Paul for a purpose. And when we read the response to Ananias upon sending him to Saul, right? But the Lord said to him, that being Ananias, go talk to this guy that's killing you. Right? I want you to go to him. Right? Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine, to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. That's what Paul is talking about when the Lord laid hold of him. It was a life of going to the Gentiles. And think about that as Paul. Right? Paul, who had just explained to us earlier, he was a Jew, Jew of all Jews, right? He was trained up in the Jewish law. He knew what God wanted, who God was in the Jewish realm. And he meets Jesus on the road to Damascus. And God says, you didn't know me at all. I've got a plan for you. I'm laying hold of you. And here's what you're going to do. You're going to the Gentiles. Not the Gentiles. Yes, the Gentiles. That's where you're going. Right? And oh yeah, it'll be a peaceful walk. Right? It's going to be you're going to go to the Gentiles, the gentlemen. Right? You're going to have this easy time walking with them. No. He says, you must suffer many things for my name's sake. Right? And Paul was determined to press on with the mission to take the gospel. That which God laid hold of him, he says, okay, then I will go and press on taking that mission, taking the gospel message that Christ came to him with. Remember what the answer was when Paul was asked on the road, who are you, Lord? The Lord said, I'm Jesus. What? I like to put myself in those contexts and go, what would I have been like if that would have been me? I can't fathom it, to tell you the truth. But Paul understood that Christ had came to him. He knew Jesus had come to him. He recognized that he was nothing but a filthy sinner. That he had, his whole driven force behind him was all wrong. He was about the wrong business. But he also knew that Christ had given him eternal life. He knew that by following Christ, he had eternal life. And so Paul changed on that moment. He changed in his desire then was to be more like Christ each day until he arrived in eternity with Christ. What's our desire? See, what do I want to be? What do I want to be tomorrow? What do I want to be the next year? And I've always, when I do a January sermon in our old church, almost every year I'd go, have you taken your picture? Maybe I've used this here before. I said, have you taken your picture? And everybody kind of look at you every year after year. I've used this every year for 10 years. And everybody still looked at me and went, what do you mean? Right? Have you taken your picture? And my reference was always to grade school, right? Some of us parents that had grade school students or that went through that, every year, first day of school, snap, they took a picture of you, right? And your kids bought the picture package and they sent them to grandma and grandpa, and there's a 5x7 replaced every year in your little picture that sat on your mom's shelf, maybe. And as you went back over them, you know what you noticed? You grew. You got older, right? Some of us look in the mirror today and go, what happened to me? Right? Where's this young man I used to be? The guy that used to have a little bit more hair on top, right? The guy that used to not groan when he got out of bed in the morning. What happened to that guy? Well, I matured. I grew. I got older. And that's what we are striving for. To be more like Christ each day. Have you taken a spiritual picture? Do you take spiritual pictures of your life? Do you go, today? You don't sit on a daily day-to-day basis. We don't. I didn't see my children grow on a day-to-day basis. Right? It's just every so often. I remember Sam particularly, maybe because he's the last one. But you know, he was always the little guy. He was always our baby, right? He's the last one of the nine. And one day he was laying out, sleeping on the couch, and I looked at him and I went, that kid is long. What happened to my baby? He grew a cushion length, you know, somewhere in there, you know? And I think we need to be able to look at ourselves sometimes that way, spiritually. Where was I a year ago? Where was I 2 years ago? What has God done to me lately? Am I growing? Do people look at me and go, you know, he just looks more like Christ this week or this year? They should. They should. I think the closer we become to Christ, I don't know, maybe it was one of the guys at the games the other night. I don't remember when, but we were talking, and I said, old age just set in. I lost my thought. But we were talking. But having that idea of growing more like Christ and looking, do people see that? Christ, no, that's my thought. It came back. Christ is never had a problem bringing people to him. Have you ever noticed that in the Bible? When Christ went somewhere, the people went with him. They followed him. And I've been challenged in my life by that. How come the crowds aren't following me? How come is it? Am I not looking enough like Christ? Is Christ not, am I not allowing Christ to work through me the way? It's the challenge. It's where I'm at today. It's who we are today. But wouldn't that be really cool if when you walked into Walmart, flocks of people just came to you and went, what do you have that I don't have? Because there's something about you I see. That'd be a pretty cool example, wouldn't it? But I'm not giving up. I'm going to work toward perfection too. I'm going to keep working toward that. He had that desire. Paul had that desire, and we should have that desire to take the message of hope of the gospel, take it to the world, and do it until we die. Do it until we die. As long as we have breath, that's the mission that God has given us. I've worked with a lot of people in nursing homes, and they'd like, I don't know why God leaves me here. And I'm like, because he's still working with you. You know, those folks in nursing home, they have a great opportunity to just pray for those of us on the outside. You know, they got all day. That's what I'd tell them. So you got all day to keep studying God's word. And then here's a few things. Pray for these folks. You know, who do you got on your list to pray for? They could use it. You're never done. You're never complete. I had a 96-year-old man that left Henderson when we had the grocery store, and he prayed for our store from the time we bought it. And he'd call me every couple of months and ask me how things are going. And one day he came by and he said, well, my kids don't think I should be living at home no more. So I guess I'm moving over to the assisted living and things. And I said, well, how do you like that? And he goes, well, I don't really love it. But he goes, the one thing that's good about it is when I go to breakfast in the morning, I'll have a captive audience to tell them about Christ because they can't get up and leave. And, you know, I thought about that over the years. I just think that is the attitude of a mature Christian, isn't it? 96 years old, it'd been so easy just to give up. And he just went, nope, I got a new mission. I can share the gospel and they can't leave. What a perspective of life. Paul's aim was then to keep moving forward. He didn't want to stop. Verses 13 and 14 there. I do not count myself as apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ Jesus. See, Paul's aim was to just keep moving, just to keep going, keep going. He didn't look backwards. I can look back on it really easy. And look at my failures and go, oh, I should have done this. I get done with the Sunday morning, I can look back and go, oh, right? We all can. But you know what? It's good to look back on one level, right? There's no sense repeating stupid mistakes, right? But on the same token, to press forward, to not get hindered down by what's already been done, but to keep pressing forward. Okay, I'm going to keep pressing forward. Paul didn't consider himself greater than he was, right? I haven't apprehended anything. There is a great humility in a person, though the world thinks them great, when they understand they are not perfect and still have many things to learn. That's one thing we learn from Paul, right? I'm not perfect. I'm going to press forward. The great humility and understanding that I've not attained at all. Take heed of Paul's instruction. It's amazing. The more you grow in the knowledge of God, some of you guys will recognize this. The more you grow in the knowledge of God, the less you feel you know of him. Anybody else feel that way? The more that you study God's word and you walk with him, the less you feel like, wow, I know who he is. It's like, oh. He's bigger than what I thought. He's greater than I thought. And the more the thing is, you also recognize your shortcomings more. I fall so short of what he wants me to be. Paul didn't glory in the past successes or drown in the past failures. Right? Didn't look at the past. See, we can look at the past from failure side. Right? We can also look at the past and go, boy, I did pretty good. That was a great week. That was a great Sunday. Did you see all that I accomplished? We should go back and watch that video, right? And see the great thing God did then. Paul didn't do that either. He pressed forward. Always knew tomorrow was a new day and a new opportunity to tell people about Christ. It was a new opportunity and don't know what's going to happen there. In Luke 9:62, Jesus said, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Right? I didn't farm, but I do know enough by watching movies more than anything else. If you're going to stand behind a plow, you're looking where you're going down the road, right? If you're driving a tractor, maybe not so much today with GPS, but back in the day, you know, when they actually had to drive the things, they paid attention to their markers. They looked where they're going, and they knew where they were heading, and they wanted their line straight, right? They didn't look behind. They looked forward because there was a marker there that they were aiming for that they had to keep on track with. I think that's a really cool thought process. No one putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. God understands you failed. God already knows who we are. He already knows what's taken place. He says, but tomorrow is a new day. Right? Today is a new day. If each passing minute, it's a new minute. It's a new day. What are we doing today? Are we pressing forward with the gospel of Christ? Are we going back as Paul was laying hold of what Christ laid hold of him? Are we laying hold of what Christ laid hold of us? Right? He gave me eternal life. He gave you eternal life. Keep pressing on. Keep looking forward. Keep moving. Paul knew what the goal was. In fact, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 9:24, "Do you not know that all those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you obtain it." Run, right? You run in such a way that you obtain it. Right? How do you do that? You don't look back. Right? Again, I wasn't a track star, but I'm heard enough to say that if you look back to see where the competition is, you've slowed down. You've slowed down. The only way to keep pressing on and to win that race is to look at the finish line and keep driving for it and say, "I can get there. I'm going to do it." Not worrying about what the competition's doing. What does God want you to do? What does God want me to do? I'm not worried about what God has called you to do. You have that worry. What has God told me to do? Where has God put me today? Where is God taking your path today? What is God doing with you? You all are meeting different people. You're all in different worlds during the week. What is God putting before you? Are you pressing forward? Are you looking to that end to think, "Okay, God took me here. How do I represent Christ there? How do I do that? What can I do?" Put a smile on. That's a good start. Right? Walk up to somebody and say, "How you doing?" Right? When you do that, you know what? It puts a smile on your face. Right? How many of you ever walked up to somebody and went, "Whoa, how are you doing?" Right? We might do it to a buddy, right? But generally speaking, when we go to tell somebody that, we put a smile on and we say, "How you doing today?" You know what that does for people? What does it do for you when somebody does that for you? It has the same effect on others. The prize Paul was after was the upward call of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus. Matthew Henry, commentator from years past, he wrote this. He wrote, "Heaven is the prize of the high calling, the prize we fight for, the prize we run for and wrestle for, what we aim at in all we do, and what will reward all of our pain." Okay? Don't take your eyes off of heaven. Don't take the eyes off the finish line. Press on toward the upward call. Paul was going to press on until he reached eternity with Christ. He knew he was going to keep growing, and he knew he was going to keep spreading the gospel until he received his reward. That was Paul's aim, right? Even knowing when he wanted to go to Rome, if you remember this, his path, you know, God put on his heart to go to Rome, and all these people would come up and say, it's not going to go well for you in Rome. You probably don't want it. Good-meaning Christians, good-meaning fellow believers, trying to talk him out of what God wanted him to do. And he's like, I know. I'm good. I'm pressing toward the goal that God has called me to. I'm going to press on. I know what I'm supposed to do. And so therefore, walk by the same rule. He finishes out this little statement with, right? Walk by the same rule. Let us who are mature. Right? There's a few of you in here that thinks, why is he up there? He's not mature. No, he's not talking about necessarily attitude. He's talking about faith. You know, to mature. Let us who are mature, having this same mind of Christ, right? The theme that he's been putting in there. If you think you have already matured and have the answers, you're really revealing your immaturity, by the way. If you think, well, I'm mature, look at me. This happens with sometimes our students at school, right? They come in, they learn a little bit, they think they're pretty wise, and they straighten their shoulders up, they stand tall, and they think, oh yeah, I've got this. And pretty soon they learn that, yeah, no, they didn't have it, right? A sign of maturity is knowing that you still have a lot of growth to go. Right? Paul tells the Philippians who might have had that mindset, may God reveal to you otherwise. I'm mature. Maybe God will show you that you're really not quite there yet. As a mature Christian knows he is not yet all he will be in Christ, right? So we know we're not. Right? I'm not what I'm going to be in Christ. You're not what God is. You're not a finished product. Don't mean to break that to you, but you're not. Some of you are going, shoo, it's a good thing, right? We're not finished products. We're in the making. We're heading that way. Oh, you should be more than you were a year ago, right? And think about when you, I don't know where all you came from, but think about when you first met Christ. And where you were at. And look at your life today and go, but I'm not that guy. I'm here now, right? I keep pressing on, keep working forward. J. Vernon McGee uses an illustration from his orange trees back in the day. He said this, some of the oranges on his trees are still green. But for this particular time of year, they are perfect. Okay? The green oranges for the time and the season of the year were exactly what they were supposed to be. They are perfect oranges. But if you come and see me in a month, they will not be perfect oranges if they stay just like they are now. What a great illustration for the walk of Christ. You are right where God wants you to be today. And he'll use you right where you're at today. He has no desire for you to stay where you're at today. He has no desire for me to stay where I'm at today. He wants me to be an orange, not a green orange, right? He wants me to mature. He wants me to start losing more of that green and becoming more orange. And when I become a perfectly orange, I'm probably going home, right? Until that point, there's still maturing that needs to take place in me. And so he still wants us to keep pressing on, keep growing in the knowledge of Christ. How do you do that? Right? It requires spending time with Christ daily. Right? Prayer is a good start. Right? Good morning, Lord. How are you? How am I? What do you want me to do today? How do you want to plan my world today? Lord, I give it to you. I want you to direct my path. Show me where I need to go. Give me courage to open my mouth when I need to open it. Give me courage to keep my mouth shut when I need to keep it shut. Give me the words to say. Give me the hand to reach out. Right? All of those kinds of things. Keep growing. So spend time. Ask the Lord. Spend time in prayer. How about the other one? Reading and studying His Word. How does God generally speak to us? It's through His Word. He gives us His plan. He gives us His actions. It's amazing when you come before the Lord and read His Word and go, okay, show me just one thing that I need to be growing in today. That's all there is. Show me something. And it's amazing how often when you've read His Word, how many times God brings that up during the course of the next day or the week or whatever. And you're like, I just read that. I got an answer for this. God does things. The third part is, so you need to pray. You need to be talking to God. You need to read and study His Word. But, you know, sometimes you need to be still. Quiet. And just let Him talk to you. Right? He does that through His Word. But sometimes there's just a stillness that needs to come that says, I just need to hear. And He puts things into your mind, usually from His Word. Somebody spoke. And you go, oh, thank you, Lord. The stillness. All three of those aspects are so important to keep pressing on. But you can't stay there. Right? Some days you want to just stay. Some church services, have you ever got to a church service on a Sunday and felt like, I could have stayed there all day? Right? Camp experiences. You know, those kids come Friday, a lot of them kids aren't ready to go home. They want to stay another week. Right? We can't. We have to take that time, enjoy that time, but then we have to get up, put our shoes on, make ourselves presentable, go out into the world, and keep pressing on with the gospel of Christ. There's a world out there that needs us. They need you. They need to hear the message that you know. They're dying. And we need to make sure they died having heard and having known. And we need to challenge each other again. He keeps coming back to that. And let us walk by the same rule and let us be of the same mind. Accountability and encouragement toward each other. We are mature and we have knowledge, but we understand there is much more to learn and do until we reach the perfection of eternity. That should be all of us here. And having that same mind. If God could change the world with 12, I look around here and I see more than 12. What could God do in the Mitchell area, Scotts Bluff area, just our little world? Right? What will God do? Maybe I should put it that way. If we allow Him to do it, what will God do right in this area? What will God do for our little congregation, our communities that we live in? Let's press on. Let us be reminded to follow Paul's words and example. Remind ourselves, God isn't done with us. He's not done with you. He's certainly not done with me. But let us press on. And walking with Him. Let's pray. Father God, thank you again for the opportunity to look into your word. Thank you for the blessings you give us. Lord, give us a mindset as we leave here to keep pressing on, to keep our eyes on eternity and understanding that you've left us here for a purpose, and you've given us the goal of reaching our world and our generation. And so help us to do that in the ways that you would lead us. We give this to you in your son's name. Amen.